them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, where you did reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground, where here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing teeth. The Gospel of the Lord. So here again, a real difficult story. We're being told this parable by Jesus, and in it we're hearing things that, frankly, we have a hard time believing are Christ-like. Don't you? I mean, is it really? Did he really do that bad? That we got to cast him way out? I mean, basically into this awful place with all these awful results, that we got to belittle him? Good question. But as we read this parable, it's important to think about what's going on here. So what exactly is a talent? Any ideas? Is it your talents? No, not really. We're going to talk about that, but that's not what he's talking about here. Any ideas what a talent is?
Money.
Well, it can be. So it's actually a talent equals 3,000 shekels. I'm sure that helps. which is approximately 70 pounds, or how we use weight as a measure. Like the British pound. You know, the British pound is an equivalency, right, of currency. So I was reading up on this and trying to figure out exactly how much was 1 talent worth. And so if you go and you take the weight equivalency of, say, gold, it's a significant amount, right? 70 pounds of gold would probably be pretty good, right? So the point of the story is that all 3 of the servants were given a lot. They weren't just given 10 bucks and say, hey, see what you can do with it. No, they were giving a significant amount here again. So the question is, what do the numbers mean? Does it have anything to do with anything? And why do we talk about this parable so often? And why is it difficult? Well, I mentioned why it was probably difficult, because we saw what happened to the 3rd servant, and we said, what did he do wrong? I mean, honestly, how many of us at work have gone and done our very best and we fell short, did we get fired? I hope not, because not many people would want to work there, right? So we don't always overproduce, right? And then you look at the guy that was given 5 talents, which is an enormous amount, and he turned it into 10. And you look at the person who had 2, and he turned it into 4. Now, another thing that's important here, because this story refers to Jesus coming again, is after a long while, he came back. So he didn't say when he gave the money, hey, I'm going to be back next year. You take care of this. I'm expecting results. He didn't tell them exactly what he wanted them to do. He just said, here, do this, you know, make it work. And so the people, each 3 of them looked at it the same way. The first 2, the first one was diligent. He took it, he exchanged it, he doubled it. The second one, the same thing, exchanged it, doubled it. And then he waited for his master to come back. The third one is who I want to focus on, though. Because you see, unfortunately, I myself relate more to the third one than I do the first 2. Any ideas why I think that we, as a church even, probably identify more with the third one than we do the first 2? You see, so what happens in the church today? So God has given us, this is not necessarily about money, this parable. It's just not. I mean, a lot of times it's at this time of year, and a lot of churches are doing their stewardship drive, right? So they set their budgets, and they want people to tithe, and they want people to commit to more if they got special stuff on. But I'm not going to go there with this, because I think it really has to do more with your faith and your trust. See, God has given us the totality, our whole, and all our gifts and all our talents. So what he tells each and every one of us, and he tells me and every one of you in here who profess him as our Savior and Lord, and he says, here's your talents. Use them. Use them. Does he say to use them so that you can benefit? Or does he say to use them for the kingdom and God all the glory? How does he want us to use our talents? I think it's important that we know, as Lutherans, I mean as Christians, we believe we're saved by grace through faith, right? So there's absolutely nothing that we can do works-wise to get us into heaven. That doesn't change. That's not going to change the outlook, the view. But what I will tell you is, we will all stand before the Maker one day. We will all stand before him. And you know what I want to hear? What do you think that is? Well done, good and faithful servant. Why didn't he tell that to the third one? What did he do wrong? What did he do wrong?
He buried his talents.
Did he lose the money?
He
didn't tell him to go double it. Did he?
He didn't do anything with it.
He didn't do anything with it. So let's look at the church. That's the big thing. About 10 years ago, I don't know if any of y'all know who Francis Chan is, but he's an evangelist. Amazing preacher. He does a lot of good stuff. He gave a sermon one time that just kind of rocked my world. It was called Lukewarm and Loving It. So what do we know about lukewarm when we say, lukewarm, right?
Think about him spitting you out.
That's right. It doesn't really taste good, right? So if you get your coffee and it's lukewarm, yeah, I don't want that. I want hot coffee, right? Or I want hot tea or cold tea, you don't want the end, right? So lukewarm. So Christian author Anne Lamott said, the opposite of faith is not doubt. What do you think it is? It's certainty. It's certainty. Whoa.
What's wrong with certainty? I'm certain that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. But see, if you're so convinced, and it forces you not to challenge your faith, right? So what was the immediate response from that third servant? He immediately went after him and he said, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow. He was afraid. He was afraid. Aren't we sometimes afraid to share our faith with people out in public, even our own family, because they come after us and say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It doesn't work. How can we have the coronavirus and all these people dying? If God loves us, I call baloney. How do you answer that? We don't want to hear it. So what we do is we reserve. We step back and say, well, you know what? I know I'm saved by grace through faith. That's all that matters. So what happens then? We get this. We get this. We get people that stay home and say, you know what? It's just not worth it. Why would I go to church? Why? I'm scared. I might get the virus. And really, what does it matter anyways? That's the biggest reason right there. So if you're not all in, if you're not committed to your faith, if you don't trust that God has given us, each and every one of us, a gift, and if we don't believe that using that gift is for his kingdom and for his good, then really, what are we telling God? What are we telling him? He doesn't know what he's doing? Maybe, right? So the question then becomes, why did God get angry, or Jesus, the master, get angry with the person that buried the talents in the ground? He didn't lose the money. He had it for him. Why did he get angry? Because they were lukewarm. Revelation says, in Revelation 3:15, he said, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. In other words, be something. Care. Right? Care. God loves you. He's given each and every one of us gifts. Some of them are the same, but some are different, and they're for the kingdom. And right now, my friends, the world is hungry to hear that Jesus is real, that the cross is real, that Jesus went to that cross, that Jesus gave everything for us. It's real. And God has given us talents. Yes, it's easy to say, well, you know, especially looking at you all, you all are amazing people. I have the utmost respect for each and every one of you. But you know what? You can also make a huge impact, too. Even if it's in your own family. And we're not saying, well, because you don't go to this church, this is better than that church. No, that's not what we care about. We care about the kingdom. God loves you. Jesus died for your sins. And you know what? If you were the only one, he would have still done the same thing. This is what he's talking about with the talents. So as we grow the kingdom, if you do too, you remember the movie Pay It Forward? And did you see the ripple effect of how that worked? Well, it's kind of in the same way. When you do a good deed and you tell somebody, now you go do a good deed, then eventually what happens? It reaches a lot of people. And we also step into our relationship with Christ and we say, the most important thing I want to hear that day when I stand before him is well done. You see, Paul, in his second letter, and his first letter to Thessalonians, which Kay read so nice, he ends it and he says, well, how can we help each other? Because we know Jesus is coming again, and that's what this parable is about. So how can we assure that we're not the ones that are burying our stuff in the ground? We're the ones that are out there putting our faith to work. And how can we do it? He says, I love these words at the end when he says, therefore,
So when the word therefore is in there, it's there for something, right? So the next thing he's saying, there's therefore. He says, encourage, wow, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another. Gloria, you're amazing. And when you show somebody what you know, they see Christ in you. And that goes a long way. That doesn't mean you get the glory for it. But that means the kingdom benefits. And that's what this parable is about. It's about growing the kingdom. Because I'm telling you, my biggest fear is I stand before the Lord and he says, you didn't do what I asked you to do. Why? So I'm asking for you guys to hold me accountable. I am. So that we can grow this kingdom, right? So we can spread the word. It doesn't matter if they come to this church. They might go to the one across the street. They might like that better. That's okay. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the cross. It's about who was on the cross. It's about Christ himself. So let's encourage one another, as Paul said. Because you know what? He is coming again. We don't know when. He was delayed. No. God loves you, so do I. Amen?
Amen.
Our response.